Good morning. Did you enjoy that beautiful music?
Yes.
Yeah, let's give Carissa and Dave a really nice round of applause for providing that for us this morning. Well, thanks for being here this morning. If you are a guest, we want to say welcome. We are so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to be with us. Hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is just a little card. If you'll take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be so helpful. Hopefully we all received a bulletin. If you have a bulletin, open it up. Let's take a look at what's going on this week here at church and some other important information for us. And so right after our morning worship service at 11:30-ish, we're going to be having Sunday school. We have Sunday school for kids all the way up through adults. I hope that you'll stay and join us for that. Tuesday evening, we don't have leadership team meeting this Tuesday night, okay? It's like, whoa, wait, okay, all right. Unless there's something going on I don't know about, but all the leaders are shaking their head no, so that's okay. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study here at the church at 1 p.m. Thursday, we have Awana. It's our Christmas scavenger hunt at 6:25. The kids know what that is all about, and so that'll be great. So another important date and activity that's going to be happening here in a couple weeks, Sunday, December 21st, we will be having our Christmas breakfast before our morning worship service. And there is a sign-up sheet for you to help bring food. Crepes are going to be provided for breakfast. And so there's a sign-up sheet for you to be able to bring other stuff to help with the breakfast meal. And then we also want you to sign up. There's an additional sign-up sheet. We want you to sign up letting us know that you're going to be here so that we know how many people to be able to plan for. So two sign-up sheets regarding the Christmas breakfast out there. Then we'll have our morning worship service, and then after our morning worship service, we will have our annual church family meeting. And so you want to put that on your calendar as well. That's where we're going to talk about the budget. That's where we're going to talk about some other important information, answer any questions that you might have, and then give you an opportunity to be able to affirm the 2026 church budget. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? The 2026 church budget. I know time is just moving so quickly. Also, we received a little booklet put out by Our Daily Bread called A Gift for All, and the gift is Jesus, and there's 10 reflections in each one of those little booklets, and so they're out there on the information table. So if you'd like to have one, take one. If you know that there's people that would be encouraged by those reflections, go ahead and take that. Also, the Daily Bread that started the new quarter started December 1st, they're out there as well, and so you're going to want to be able to do that. Also, we have mailboxes here at church. How many of you knew that? Okay, all right, okay, good. Okay, they're not in the same location they used to be. They're in the library now, and if you've been a attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church for any period of time, you have a mail slot in the library. And so we thought, you know what, why not save a stamp and place your Christmas cards, your Christmas pictures, your Christmas greetings in the church mailboxes, at least for your church family. And so bring them, put them in people's boxes that you would like to share those cards or pictures or greetings with, and that'll save you a little bit of postage. Not a bad deal, right? Okay, all right, so let's take advantage of that as well. Hey, there's lots more announcements in the bulletin. That's why it's important for you to be able to make sure that you leave here with one in your hand so that you will be able to put these important dates and activities on your church calendar. Well, I'm so glad to be here today. Are you?
Yes.
Are you ready to worship?
Yes.
You're ready to lift your voices and your hearts in praise to the Lord? Ready to experience all that God has for you? All right, let's get after it. Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning? I'm going to read some scripture for you. Every Christmas season in December, we sing Christmas carols. So you'll notice in your bulletin that we've got a lot of fun Christmas carols we're going to sing today and over the next coming weeks. Now, this is all in response to Jesus. Jesus. He's the reason for this. So I'm going to read some scripture, just short scripture here out of the book of Luke, chapter 2. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They look it up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so
continue.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the golden skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled to still their heavenly music close. Oh, beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold. When with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. With the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angels' reign have rolled 2,000 years strong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing.
Lord, we pray that we would hear you, that we would hush our noise and hear you. We'd hear the good news. We would hear your love. And we would respond to it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, God, for who you are, that you sent Jesus to us. Thank you for hope, in Jesus' name.
What hope we hold this starlit night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years, can he be found? But broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God to believe, a crown of thorns would pierce his brow, and we beheld this offering exalted now, the King of Kings. Praise God for the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender.
Our voices.
Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels, let us sing. Alleluia to our King, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
As we take this morning's offering, I want to give you an opportunity to give, to worship with giving. And we've sang a lot about this one baby at one time in Bethlehem, the most famous one there ever will be. So this song is a departure from Christmas, but it's still all about that amazing, amazing Jesus.
Your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your glorious, glorious, great is your fame beyond the earth. And for all you've done, and and yet to do. With every breath, I'm praising you. Desire of nations and every heart, you alone are God. You alone are God. You are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your glorious, glorious. Great is your fame beyond the earth. The morning star is shining through, and every eye is watching you. Revealed by nature and miracles, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. The glorious, glorious, great is your fame beyond the earth. Yes, great is your fame beyond the earth.
So when God gave a covenant to this fellow named Abraham, you might have heard of him. The covenant was a threefold covenant. It was a covenant of land, it was a covenant of descendants, it was a covenant that through his descendants, all of the world would be blessed. All of the families of the earth would be blessed. How is that possible? By the famous one. The one who came from the glory and the splendor of heaven and was born in a little insignificant town called Bethlehem. Who grew to be a man, and eventually that man went to the cross so that you and I and the whole world could have a Savior. That's what makes him famous. Not the fact that his name was Jesus, not the fact that he was a good teacher, but the fact that he went to a cross to be your Savior, my Savior, the Savior of the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? So in that one little phrase, the famous one, we see how God fulfilled that covenant and continues that part of the covenant that through him, all through his descendants, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. That part of the covenant is still in effect today because people all over the world every day are coming to believe in Jesus as Savior. So let me just say this at the outset before we get into the message this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never come to that place of believing in Jesus as Savior, now's the time. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to spend time meeting with me in a different part of the building this morning. You don't have to meet with our church elders. We don't have a list of things for you to do or not to do. All you have to do is believe today that Jesus went to that cross, not only to be the Savior of the world, to be yours. I hope you won't leave here this morning if you haven't already taken care of that in your life. All right, children, come on down and we'll get you ready for children's church. And I know you're going to have a wonderful time in children's church. I could give you some instructions about children's church, but I won't. Yeah, because I don't want to spoil it for you. All right? Okay, let's pray. Father, you are the famous one. And Father, you are the one who, because of your grace and your mercy and your love for us, sent Jesus from heaven to come to this earth. Yes, he was born in a little town called Bethlehem, but the reason why he was born as a baby was so that he could take on human flesh, so that he could live a sinless life, so that when it came time for him to be able to go to the cross, he could be the perfect, acceptable sacrifice as the payment for our sin. Nothing else would do. And so, Father, we've come here this morning to worship you and to be able to appreciate all that what Jesus has done for us brings to us, for those of us who believe in him for eternal life. So, Father, I pray that as we look into your word, Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to what you have in store for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a good time. Don't make too much of a mess. So turn with me, if you will, even though it's already been read to us, Luke chapter 2. You know what, Jared? We're a team. I had for a moment, Jared, I'll be honest, because confession is good for the soul. I'll be honest, when you said, let's read from Luke chapter 2, it's like, oh, he's going to steal my thunder. And then I thought, no, then I repented of that. And then I said, no, we're a team. And so God is using him to be able to set the stage before God uses me to be able to expand upon the stage. So turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2. Last week, we saw that the heart of Christmas, that's our Christmas series, the heart of Christmas, that the heart of Christmas begins with joy. We discovered that no matter what we face in life and no matter what is going on in the world around us, we can be assured that God is with us and we are secure in his plan and that he will meet us in our time of need. And knowing all of that should keep the joy in our lives. Today we're going to look at another aspect of the heart of Christmas, the wonderful gift of God's peace. Now, I don't know how many of you have already received Christmas cards already starting this year. Well, some of you. Okay. How many of you sent out your Christmas cards? How many of you sent them out before Pastor said, hey, you're going to give Christmas cards to the church family, put them in the mailboxes? Okay. All right. Okay. One of the favorite sayings on mass-produced Christmas cards is peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Maybe your Christmas cards that you've already received or you're already sent out or getting ready to send out says that same thing. Why? Because Christmas supposedly is the season of peace and goodwill. But what does Christmas peace look like from the world's perspective? Well, listen to this. A famous incident from World War I illustrates the nature of Christmas very well. It was December 1914, the first Christmas of the war. Already the stalemate along the Western Front in France had begun to set in. British, French, and German troops faced each other in their lines of trenches. If you know anything about trench warfare, then you will know it is a nasty business. Soldiers would quickly dig holes in the ground about 2 meters deep and then top them with barbed wire. Special periscopes were fixed at intervals during along the front line trenches because to stick your head above ground, even for a second, could be a very fatal mistake. Artillery bombardment could come at any time, day or night, and the soldiers were in constant danger, not only from enemy fire, but also from the cold and disease that by the end of the war had caused more casualties than the enemy. In between the trenches was an area called no man's land. Many were cut down within meters of their own trenches by machine guns. That was trench warfare in the Great War. But on Christmas Eve 1914, something strange happened. No orders were given by the commanding officers. In fact, the British High Command hated the whole thing, but in Ypres, in Belgium, German troops began placing candles decorating the few trees that remained around their trenches. They sung Christmas carols, including Silent Night, which was originally written in German. The English soldiers responded with their own carols. The two sides continued shouting greetings to one another until there were invitations for visits into no man's land. Small gifts were exchanged, whiskey, jam, chocolates. A joint funeral service was held in the middle of the battlefield where Psalm 23 was read in both English and German. In one place, a soccer game was played and won 3-2 by the Germans. The truce lasted all the way through to the new year. After a period of time, a British captain climbed up on his parapet and fired 3 shots into the air. The German officer he had shared a beer with the previous day also rose from his trench, bowed his head to his counterpart, and also fired 3 shots into the air. And, as an officer wrote at that time, the war was back on again. Now, the biblical perspective of the peace that comes with the heart of Christmas is not the sort of peace that is found in our anything goes Western world of the 21st century. The heart of Christmas peace focuses on God, not on us. And one of the reasons for Jesus' birth is God's desire to see you and I no longer broken and in conflict, but rather to be at peace. And God's gift of peace began in an unlikely location among some unlikely people. So let's look at some things about God's peace. God's peace is at the heart of Christmas. The Christmas narrative in God's word begins with a different group of people. The first announcement of the arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem was given by a multitude of heavenly angels to a group of shepherds who were out in a field watching their flocks to nurture and protect them. Hopefully by now you've found Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read again verses 8 through 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now there's some things we need to know about this one particular group of people. Shepherds in first century Israel were individuals who existed on the fringes of society. They were considered stinky, dirty, and untrustworthy. They lived on their own for months as they traveled with their flocks. Being a shepherd was a dirty, lonely job with a very meager wage. And because of their work, shepherds could not worship in the temple. In fact, they could not even testify in a court of law. So it would have been shocking for the first readers of the book of Luke that these were the people that God chose to entrust such an important message. Because as we're going to see, God's peace is for all. If you're taking notes, this is point number two. God's peace is for all. Now imagine if God asked you to plan the announcement of the birth of his son, the Savior of the world. Who would you choose to tell first? And why? How would you go about making that announcement? You know, people today spend all kinds of money today for gender reveal parties. I don't understand that, but they do. So, why did God choose the shepherds? Because being a shepherd, I believe, is one of the oldest occupations in the world. And this occupation is mentioned several times in God's word. Adam was given dominion over all the animals. Would that include sheep? I believe so. Abel is called a keeper of the sheep. God is described in Psalm 23 as our shepherd. Jesus calls himself in John chapter 10, the good shepherd. And so these shepherds, which were in the fields outside of Bethlehem, were tending to their flocks. By the way, Bethlehem is just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. It's almost a suburb of Jerusalem. It's not very far. I know we have these pictures, right? of Mary and Joseph riding the donkey and riding through the desert, and making this long trek from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Didn't happen that way, okay? It wasn't that long of a trek. It wasn't that long of a journey. Now, was it easy? No. Why? Because Joseph was old, and because Mary was pregnant. So that those two things made the trek a little bit more difficult than normal. But a shepherd would be guarding the flock against predators during the night. And at the time of this important announcement, the sheep would be gathered in this sheepfold. If you read John chapter 10, he talks to us about the sheepfold. These sheep were being raised to be used for sacrifice in the temple. And now, the Savior of the world, that one that through the descendants of Abraham, all of the families of the earth would be blessed, the Savior of the world had come to earth. And in a few years, he would be the perfect and acceptable sacrifice for sin. Shepherds were the most unlikely group of people for this angelic announcement. In a recent survey, 1/3 of those questioned said that of all the people mentioned in the Christmas narrative, they identified the most with the shepherds. Now, when I first ran across that statistic, it was kind of like, well, that's odd. And then I got thinking about, you know, there's probably a lot more truth to that than meets the eye. Because I remembered where I came from. I remembered my home environment. I remembered my life's choices at that particular time. I would have been considered an outcast. I would have been considered one who, because of my family history and because of my environment, who lived upon the fringes of society. Because of my father's economic and my household's economic situation, I would not have been welcomed into a lot of places. And in fact, because I wasn't welcomed in a lot of places, that led me to make some poor, poor choices. And if God was going to choose somebody like me to be able to bring about this most important announcement ever made in the history of mankind, I doubt if he would have chosen me. But you know what's ironic is that God brought me to the place of hearing about what Jesus did for me on the cross, brought me to that place of believing in him as Savior for the promise of eternal life, and then called me and equipped me to be able to proclaim his message over and over and over again. The people that through 50 some years has given me to minister to. How cool is that? So then it's not any wonder why God chose the shepherds, because God could use their hearts. And these shepherds were average, ordinary people, and yet they were invited to go to Bethlehem to see the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wow. You know, the announcement of Jesus' birth is such good news, and it is the ultimate contrast to the brokenness that exists because of sin. Brokenness between us and God, us and others, and our own inner voice. The announcement reminds us of the peace of God brought here to earth by Jesus. Now, Paul told the church in Colossae about the role that Jesus plays in peace. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, it says, "For in him," who's the him? Jesus. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." That echoes what John says in the beginning part of his gospel, John chapter 1. "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven," get this, "making peace," how? "By the blood of his cross. and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, Jesus has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Because of what Jesus did for us, he brought to us peace with God. He removed that brokenness when we come to believe in him. To appreciate this Christmas peace, we must understand that although Jesus was born in a stable, spent time sleeping in a manger, his life would lead to a cross. Jesus lived a sinless life and gave his life to be the propitiation of our sins through his death on that cross. And Paul instructed us that it is the blood of Jesus that makes peace between us and God. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paid for our sin, and it opened the door for us to be reconciled to God, to be able to enjoy peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice that Paul here doesn't say, "Therefore, since we have been justified by our own merit, by our works, by anything that we could do, by our home environment, by our intelligence, by our wealth." No, we are justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. People today want peace. They want peace in their marriages. They want peace in their families. They want peace in their workplace. They want peace in their country and their world. And our country has some of the best medical and psychological treatment centers, the highest educational institutions, and worldwide communication abilities. Yet in all of these things, most people are struggling to find peace. And let me just clue you in this morning. The world, however, will never hold the answer to godly peace, because peace does not come from man, but comes from God. God's peace is ours through Jesus. And our peace through Jesus does not mean the absence of trouble. This peace gives us peace in a world full of sin and conflict. Even though we may have circumstances that don't go our way or challenging relationships to navigate, we have peace because of God's presence in our lives. And if he is with us, there is nothing we have to fear. We can go to him for guidance and strength. We can lean on him when we get weary. And by the way, here's the fourth point. God's peace has purpose. You know, what the world needs more of is people who have the peace of God in their hearts and lives and are willing to share that peace with others. What the world needs more of is people who have the peace of God in their hearts and lives and are willing to share that peace with others. And I think, as we talked about a little bit last week, there's no greater time of the year for us to be able to share that peace, to be able to share that message of the one who brought God's peace, not only to the world, but when we believe, brings God's peace to us. There's no greater time of the year than this one. Because everywhere you turn, Christmas season speaks of peace. We sang some Christmas carols this morning, some Christmas hymns that talked about peace. Christmas cards, peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. What a great opportunity we have given to us during this season of time to be able to share with them what godly peace is all about and how we get that godly peace. In the New Testament, the word for peace means to reconcile or to join, to be at peace with one another. That's good, isn't it? To be at peace with one another. That's one of the reasons Jesus came, to bring us that peace, so that we could be reconciled back to God and have that peace, so that we could have the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit and to be able to have that peace, so that through his justification done by him on his cross, we can have that peace with God. Some missionary Bible translators were working hard to find a word for peace in a particular tribal language. At last, a native who was working with them found a combination of words that captured the concept: a heart that sits down. A heart that sits down. When the heart sits down with Jesus, when we join with God through his Son, there is peace. The angels told the shepherds that peace was available to those with whom God is what? Pleased. And how is God best pleased? When we believe in him. The heart of Christmas involves peace because God desires us to be in a right relationship with himself, with ourselves, and with others. This is the purpose of peace for us. So let's be people who understand that Jesus is the one who brought us God's promise of peace, and let us embrace the gift of God's peace. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to look at your peace. Not peace that the world brings, not peace that's the absence of conflict or the absence of trouble, but your peace. We have peace with you. Father, let us embrace your gift of God's peace and not only hold it to ourselves, but to be able to pass it on to others as you give us opportunity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song, Go Tell It on the Mountain?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.